Well, this morning we have a special speaker with us. Dear friend of mine, his name is Jerry Clunan, and his wife Rhea are here with us. Now, Annette and I have known Jerry and Rhea for quite a number of years. I'm not sure how long. Maybe you know Jerry. It's been a number of years. We've gotten to know Jerry and Rhea through the Gideon's ministry. And, we've known them pretty well over the years, but just this past, winter, while I was in India for 2 weeks, you were praying for us. Well, this is the other guy from Pennsylvania that was in India with me. So it just gives you a little context. I got to know him really well while we were in India. We worked very closely together the first week while we were there. Jerry's occupation is as a financial advisor. They live in Lancaster. And currently, Jerry is serving as the Pennsylvania State Association Faith Fund Coordinator. And his wife, Rhea, is serving as the Vice President of the Eastern Region of the State of Pennsylvania for the Auxiliary of the Gideons. So I'm really excited to invite Jerry to come. I think he's going to be more comfortable speaking from down here. He wants to be close to you, okay? So Jerry's going to speak from down here. And Jerry, God bless you. Can't wait to hear what God's laid upon your heart.
Have you ever gone on a long trip and it was just seemed never ending? And when you got there, you thought, this must be the end of the world. Well, I found out where the end of the world is. It's the Yamal Peninsula, and translated is the end of the world. It's near the Arctic Circle. It's northwest Siberia. And at that point, there are nomadic tribes of reindeer herders who follow the reindeers across northwest Siberia. And they're animists. They worship nature. I saw a lot of that in Indonesia. People that sleep facing volcanoes. People that are buried facing volcanoes. But you have animists right here in Juniata County too. They'd rather worship nature than worship the Creator. Amen? Did you know that it was just, think about this, in the 1980s, the mid-80s, they never heard the gospel message in that part of the world. Now, how did they hear about it? Because of an extended missionary arm of your church called, guess what? The Gideons International. The Gideons heard of the need. And Bibles were printed in Northeast Philadelphia. They were trucked to the Philadelphia International Airport. They were sent by air to Anchorage. They were trucked north of Anchorage as far as roads went. They unloaded the trucks, and Gideons came in with sled dogs and loaded up with Bibles and went north and started following those nomadic tribes, the Nancy and the Sansi tribes across northwest Siberia, and absolutely unbelievable weather. And you know what? Here's the great news. Praise the Lord. There are four churches there as we meet here this morning. Now you see, the Orthodox Church couldn't have gone there. Why? Because they need a building. But the Gideons were. People came to know Christ. They wanted to meet. They wanted to have services. They wanted to have Bible studies. And now there's pastors there that are discipling the Nancy and the Sansi tribes. Because, possibly, of the giving of this church in McAllisterville. In the 1980s, people who didn't know Christ. God tells us in the Bible that His word shall not return void. Amen. Who are the Gideons? They're simply business and professional men whose single objective is to win men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. And we do this by personally witnessing and handing out a copy of God's word around the world wherever we can. The Gideons now number approximately 280,000 associates worldwide. And we know that in Hebrews 4:12 we read, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." And it is.
And people around the world are hungry to know what you know. We're organized in 191 countries. We now print God's Word in 93 languages. More than 77 million scriptures were handed out last year because God so loved the world. And no matter what language, you read John 3:16 and it melts hearts around the world. And God has opened doors. Just like Northwest Siberia, the Yamal Peninsula. God's opened doors recently, as Dennis mentioned, in India, that we were privileged to be in. But what good is the Word of God if it's not in the hands of those that need it? Amen? We go to places where the church can't go. That's why we're an extension of this church here. We go into the prisons around the world. A huge blessing for my wife and I is an active ministry in the York County prison. Sometimes as much as a couple times a month. This coming Sunday, you know, July 4th, I'll be with some men in the men's side of the prison. Broken hearts. People that need to know Jesus. How does this all happen? Because of prayer. And I ask you, when you think about it, or would you even consider adding the Gideon's International to your prayer list? Because they're often traveling in harm's way around the world, representing you by handing out God's Word. Another way you can help is through the Gideon Expressions program. And I'm sure that in the vestibule, in the other room of the church, are cards like this. And this is a neat way, special occasions, thinking of you, in recognition, anniversaries, graduations, where you can give a card and then make a donation for the Bibles to the Gideon's International. What a great way to remember special events. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Sowing the word. That's what we do around the world in many different places. And it's because of your support. You see, when you give 100%, not 99, 100% goes for the purchase and distribution of God's Word around the world. How many ministries can say that? You see, it's a voluntary ministry. Dennis and Annette, my wife and I and others, we volunteer our time. We support ourselves, our small staff in Nashville. Thus, we can say to a congregation, when you give, 100% goes for the purchase of God's Word. And it's all for changed lives. Think about how your life has changed. Should others not have that opportunity? How do we get paid as Gideons and auxiliary members? By the smile on children's faces who are excited to hear about God and about His forgiveness. And as Dennis mentioned, in January, we were both blessed. Not originally planned to go on the same international blitz together, but a change happened. And then all of a sudden, there we were, heading to India. Not really knowing what we would get into, but we always get into something because that's just the nature of God. But as I share some of these stories of India, I want you to know that this camp, right here in Juniata County, makes sure that all school children in the 4th and 5th grades get a copy of God's Word, including the Amish schools, and I think I said 4th and 5th, and it's 5th and 6th grade, bed and breakfast, and fire stations, and nursing homes, auxiliary members going to physicians and dentist offices, and you see, they do it representing your church. Because oftentimes people check into these places, if you will, thinking they need a medical checkup, and what they need is Dr. Jesus, amen. You see, they make sure a copy of God's Word is there whenever possible. India. Well, there we were in Mumbai, formerly known as Bombay. Over 13 million people, half the size of New York with twice as many people. Think about that. A crushing amount of people. Sometimes just an odor that just would almost knock you over. The second week I was in Chennai, which is formerly Madras, while Dennis went to another town. Just give you a brief glimpse of some statistics. Almost 1.2 billion people, rapidly growing. Christians, only 2%. Muslims, 13%. It's the second largest Muslim nation in the world. I went to Indonesia, the most Muslim. This is the second. Hindus, of course, in the balance. What a diverse population of religions. Oh, you see things in India that you just won't see anywhere else. You talk about crowded people. Now, we didn't experience one thing. They said you can go to the trail at the railroad stations and you can stand right there and the train pulls up and you don't need to take a step. The crowd just takes you right onto the train. Alright. And I believe it. I absolutely believe it. Poverty. That's what a lot of streets look like. In many third world countries. If the government would want to do something with the stimulus money, they should have given each American 2 weeks in a third world country. Amen. That would have changed things. There's a family. Faithful dog. All their possessions. So sometime when you're without power because of the storm, sometimes because you got a leaky basement, just think. See, that's not unusual, folks. What's unusual is this here. Over 300 million gods are worshipped. There's one of the main ones, the elephant god. Foreign to us, isn't it? They worship animals. They worship just about anything. This was the dashboard of one of our taxi drivers, and he kind of covers the bases. You see, he's got all the different gods there. He wants to play it safe, you know. You want to talk about Jesus, he talks about Jesus. You want to talk about Hinduism, he talks about... That's the way it is. There was a school where I was distributing... Dirt poor. There's Brother Dennis. You know where that is? That's in a medical facility. That's in a leper's hospital. Bible says, go to the lepers. There's Dennis. Faithful. In a leper's hospital. What a blessing that was. New Testaments for college and university students around the world whenever possible. And this camp here in Juniata is active at some of the distributions like a Penn State University. But I'm going to walk you through a brief glimpse of a Monday in Mumbai at National College. And the day started that the team that Dennis and I were on split. And he first went to another location and I was there at the National College handing out testaments. You notice the gate and everything? Hold on, brother. I'm going to be on the slides here a little bit. You can see the gates here, and everything's armed. You know, at the airport, they're sandbagged in with machine guns and things like that. But Gideons, local Gideons, and there we are handing out copies of God's Word. And something most unusual, and I don't even think Brother Dennis, and this is why I wanted to show this. I want you to look real closely at that young man right there. And I'm betting Dennis doesn't. Is not aware of that slide. Look closely at him. Okay? He's coming out of a class. He's got things on his mind. But he's going to, in the next picture, doesn't show it, but he's going to take a copy of God's Word. More students coming. We're happy. This is the morning. The sun's bright. It's getting hot. We're handed out, at this point, probably over 1,000 scriptures. Another local Gideon over here to the left of the picture. I'm not even aware that some of these pictures are being taken. That young man right there is the man coming out of the gate. And he took a testament. He was done class that day. He started to read out in the street, out of God's Word, and it pricked his heart. And he came back in, and he was in the courtyard of the school. And lunchtime had come, and I just took a break, went with a couple other Gideons. We grabbed a sandwich. I think it was a sandwich. And we came back to the college, and we had enough help, one of the gentlemen says, "Hey, why don't you take a break now, and you know, we'll shuffle around." So I went in the courtyard and I sat in a chair. It was a shady area. There just isn't a lot of that in India. And I looked over and there was two young men, those two right there. And they were looking at a copy of God's Word that they had picked up. They were looking at me sitting down. And this went on for about 10 minutes, at least that I noticed about 10 minutes. And they came over. And the man, the young man on the right, and ask you a question. Pretty good English. These happen to be seniors in college. All right. And so this was a college that taught a lot of English courses. And why are you here? Why are you doing this? So we're the Gideon's International. We're handing out copies of God's Word here today in India. And just excited. Where are you from? The United States. And then the most amazing, one of the most astounding questions, I should say, was asked to me. Darshan Dixit says, "I often wonder who would cry for me when I die. Who will cry for me when I die?" Here's the framework. Most of the people in India have never heard of heaven or hell. As a Hindu, they come back to something. They don't believe they have any control. Heaven or hell is not even in some of their vocabulary. They never heard the word. Darshan Dixit says, "I often wondered who would cry for me when I die." Can I tell you about Jesus Christ? Listening intently to every word. You talk about a dry sponge soaking up the living water. There it is. I'm not even aware that these pictures are being taken. Raja Singh is the one that took these pictures. And there's Darshan, who after praying, except Christ, signed his name in the back of the Gideon Testament. Signing his name too. And there's Faruqi. How about that for a name? Not kind of Juniata County, is it? And here's what happened. The whole morning, we're handing out scriptures. Probably a couple thousand. And just like the old fishing hole, nothing happening, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit moved. And other students are gathering. Now, Dennis is still not here. I mean, I'm blowing the bugle because the Indian Gideons aren't quite understanding the dialogue that he wants us all to be involved in, you see? And they're gathering. They're gathering. They're asking questions. And more are praying to accept Christ. Look at this. Power of the Word of God. And I'm saying, "Dennis, where are you?" And I could hear the cavalry. More signing their names. And right around this time, we're back out at the gate. Here comes Dennis. We're handing out God's Word. There he is to your right. And I'm saying, "Boy, you should see what's happening right now." And if anybody, there's one of the ones right there who was in the courtyard. And he wants to know more. And there Dennis is leading him through the plan of salvation. And if you don't think Dennis is Italian, there's a picture to prove it. If you tied his hands to his side, he'd never be able to talk. I'm just telling you. But that attracted students because they knew he was excited. Take a close look at this picture. There's a young lady right there in the front. She wanted no parts of what we were handing out. But she had another class. That's why we always have to persevere right here in Juniata County, wherever we go. She came back in. Outside the gate, it was busy. Dennis and I are there, handing and chatting and talking. And here came this gal back in. She says, "What is this?" She told me, "It's the Word of God." "I'm Muslim. I don't need it." I said, "Oh, yes, you do." We went inside the gate. And as we dialogued for a minute, here's what Anna said. "Can your God forgive me of all my sins?" Forgiveness. It's a lost concept in most of the world. Hard for us to imagine. Lost concept in most of the world. And Anna, a beautiful Muslim girl, prays to accept Christ and signs her name. She was the 14th that morning that Dennis and I were just blessed with to be part of the equation. The escalator to heaven. And then it just stopped. The old fishing hole kind of closed down. These were just a couple pictures in the second city, Chennai. This is in one of the most radical Hindu parts of India. What a blessing this was this morning in addressing 7,000 students. The headmaster of that school, I can't even tell you that today he has his job. He said, "If the Gideons come and are willing to give out a free copy of God's Word, it is my duty to let you do it." And they call an assembly. They stop the classes. And students line up. Can you see the haze, the dust? They kept coming and going. It just was just an amazing sight. And they would stand there, waiting for what you probably have 5 or 6 or 7 of at home. Copies of God's Word. There's one of the classes holding it up. That's why we do it. That's why we ask you to help out in this ministry when you can. Because there's people around the world that want and need a copy of God's Word. Things we take for granted. In Indonesia, we handed out a lot of bilingual copies. You know why? Because the schools don't have textbooks. So this becomes the textbook in a lot of third world countries. Imagine that. They're studying their language. They're learning English. And they're learning about God because you help. And then they take it home. Home to a home that never had a book in it before. And their brothers and their sisters and their parents and their aunts and their uncles start reading from it. And God convicts their heart. That's how it happens. One of my most favorite slides. A hitchhiker. God put you in my way. How many people does He put in your way? Every day. As you're hitchhiking through life and others are hitchhiking, how many does He put in your way? And your pastor asked that I would also deliver a little bit of a sermon this morning, and I'm blessed by that and thankful for that. And so therefore, I'm going to refer to the scripture verses that Dennis read out of Mark. And you know the story is the rich young ruler, and you probably, like I, read it a number of times before. But sometimes God speaks to your heart differently, doesn't He? And this is as relevant today, brothers and sisters, as it was 2,000 years ago. You know, there's no matter how you approach the subject of hell, it's an awful thought. It's a place you don't want to be. It's a place of separation, of anguish, of torment. Luke describes it perfectly. And surely, you don't want to be there. Hell is described 15 times in the New Testament. And I think the only thing worse then going to hell would be going to hell when you were almost saved, when you were almost in heaven, when you had heaven on your mind. I think that that would actually be worse. And so, in the text today, that very thing takes place. And throughout the Bible, there's many encounters with individuals. Judas Iscariot, Felix, the husband of Drusilla, who wanted a more convenient time. Festus, in the book of Acts, heard the claims of the gospel and said they were the ravings of a madman. And Herod Agrippa told Paul, I need more time to think about it. Don't rush me. And as far as we know, every one of them went to hell. And as far as we know, the rich young ruler also went to hell. But the same thing, folks, happens to the hitchhikers around us. If we're not willing to say, could I share something with you? If we're not willing to point them, people come into our churches, they hear the gospel message, they're challenged to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus, but many leave the church just as they came in, lost. And so as we look at this familiar passage together, would you just for this short time together today, would you block out some external things? Would you just focus here and just ask God to speak to your heart? You see, when we look at this individual, this was a person who had status. He had privilege. There's three of the gospel writers that said he was rich. Matthew says he was young. And he lived a life of privilege. And in verse 22 of our reading today, it says he had great possessions. So he had position, Luke tells us. He was a ruler. Remember the classical question of good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? John, in the book of John, Nicodemus asked the same question. He had prestige according to all the information we have about this man. You see, so he was young, he was rich, he was a moral, religious leader. From every outward appearance, he had his act together. Do you know what I mean? But there was a hole that he couldn't fill. Look on your sheet below the reading of Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. You see, God has purposefully frustrated humanity by creating eternities in their heart. Why? Well, Acts tells us the next scripture, verse Acts 17, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. And see what this groping is where your drugs and your addictions and the loves of wrong things, of great possessions and those idols come trying to fill that empty hole that is in each of us. So this rich young ruler had found that his youth left him unsatisfied, that money left him unfilled, that even though he was moral and kept these six commandments, you see, when Dennis read, there's only six commandments mentioned, and he says that he kept all those. So he climbed the success rungs of the ladder, if you will, but he didn't have peace with God. How about you? So he starts this search. You know, he's got a lot going for him, but he doesn't have the most important thing. And many people never realize the important thing about their soul. In fact, we read, and it's there on your sheet, Matthew 16, for what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? And then specifically in the scripture reading of today, verse 17, it says, now, right at the start, now as he was going on the road, one came running. Do you get that? Running. I can identify with that. I wasn't running, but boy, I was walking fast, if you know what I mean. Knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So you can see he was desirous, he was running, and then it says he kneeled. So there was a sense of urgency, and he knew there was something special about this man coming down the street. You see, on the road means in the middle of the road. So not only is this rich young man, he's not ashamed that people see him. He comes to Jesus in the middle of the road, kneeling down because he wants to know about
eternal life. See, some people would be embarrassed. Nicodemus came at night, didn't he? So you don't find many people today thinking about eternity. They're too busy. They have a lot of demands. Too many things to do. Most people are so wrapped up in themselves and their lives that they have no time for